This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Poland. Poland is at the front line of the contest between the Russian Federation and NATO. Poland is also, historically in the 20th century, a nation that was badly abused by two sovereign powers, Germany and Russia. Poland in the 21st century has not forgotten any of that. And therefore, I look to George Friedman, the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site, to help me understand the position the Poles now find themselves in and their ambitions to solve or at least to secure their border with Russia and their place in the European Union and NATO indefinitely. George, a very good evening to you. You report that the Poles are eager and have been since the beginning of the conflict in February of 2022 to settle this with Russia. Settle it how, George? What is the scale? Good evening to you.
Well, the Poles have a very long history and a long memory. And in their memory, there are two nations that threaten it. One is Germany, which for the moment is not a threat, but in the Polish mind is only for them in moments because it could always be a threat. And the other is Russia. And its experience of Russia up until the Cold War ended when Poland was occupied was rather terrible. It sees at this moment an opportunity to break one or the other, particularly the Russians, that would break them for perhaps a generation, that would make it impossible for them to threaten Poland. The Poles' view of the world is not, say, the American view. The American view would be looking at the Poles and saying, what are you thinking of? And the Poles would say, what are you not thinking of? This is what happens. So they see this moment as one to seize, to try to break the back of the Russians for a very long time.
There were moments in the 20th century when there were choices like this, George, and I call upon one of those moments. This is the 1930s, when Germany was threatening Austria, and then after Anschluss was threatening Czechoslovakia. There was a moment where it was understood if the Czechs mobilized with a million-man army and their very good weapons at the Skoda armaments factories, if they mobilized, Germany would back down. And if France and Russia and the United Kingdom backed up Czechoslovakia, there'd be a moment to solve the threat of the dictator. That moment passed, and we know the rest of the tragedy. Is that comparable to how the Poles think today? This is the moment to break Moscow.
Well, they look at Munich and the Munich Accords as basically the French and the British deciding to let the Poles, the Czechs, and everyone else pay the price. They did not expect the Germans to be defeated, but they would want them to go in the other direction. And so when the Poles think about this, is this another chance for Western Europe to betray them, to feel that they're not at risk, they should make a deal? And the Poles want to be in a position to compel Europe to back them. Mind you, they distinguish the United States from the Europeans. They see the Americans as have been really put their money where their mouth is. But at the same time, they worry that at some sort of settlement will be reached that will in the end be on the Poles' back, on the back of others in the region, and freeing the others from the countries like the United States from fighting.
There was a British ambassador in Berlin in the 1930s named Henderson, always reminding his prime ministers, chiefly Chamberlain, not to upset the dictator, not to do anything provocative, not to mobilize the fleet. Do you hear that today, George, that Washington and Brussels are always reminding Warsaw, don't do anything provocative, don't upset them, don't go too far, don't attack them when you're provoked because they're dangerous?
Well, I think there's another thing I hear. They're afraid that if Poland gets in, we'll have to bail them out. So the Poles have a confidence in themselves and believe that the Americans would bail them out. But the Americans are much happier with the way the war is going. The Ukrainians are fighting. The Americans are providing them weapons. The Russians are being ground down. They do not want the war to end with the defeat of Russia completely. Because what would Russia look like if it was completely defeated? What would nuclear weapons look like? What emerges from there? From the American point of view, they're quite content to have the Russians retreat back of the line. And for Poland, that simply means they might come back again.
And that would be the post-Ukraine conflict world. But it doesn't look like the pre-Ukraine world. What is Poland's vision? All right, I understand. They'd like to break Russia. We've got troops stationed there. We'd be in it right away if the fighting started. But how do they see the world afterwards? Do they have a vision?
Yes, a very strange but real vision. Poland was once a great empire, an empire stretching into Ukraine, involving Northern Europe and so on. They believe that this is their only safety, and they believe this is their national destiny. So they see a Europe in which Russia is broken. Poland has occupied vast areas of Ukraine with Ukraine's welcome, that the Germans will be threatened. They see a world of what it was called the Polish Empire, and they talk about it as if it was really something you could achieve. This does not excite the Americans, to say the least.
There was a moment, several days passed, where an errant missile landed in Poland. Did that alarm Washington, to your understanding?
It alarmed Washington because they wanted the Russians to know very clearly that we did not think they threw it. Because if the Russians thought that we thought that they had launched a missile, Americans might retaliate. So this was an attempt by both sides, the Americans and the Russians, to de-escalate. The United States quickly said, we know you didn't do it, and the Russians quickly stepped down. Now, who did it or what did it, I don't know, but it was a decision of the United States. It wasn't the Russians.
Talking to many voices in Europe, George, I hear repeatedly only a few capitals mentioned. Berlin, of course, but this is not a story about Berlin. I hear the Poles and the Baltic states unhappy with Macron in Paris. Macron is headed to the United States, conversation with Mr. Biden. Macron has made moments of leadership in the EU. But the Poles, at least the opinion I get, the Poles in the Baltic states think that France is half a loaf or less, not to be relied upon, doesn't look after the interests of those on the frontiers. First of all, is that accurate? And is that resentment growing?
French nationalism is real, and like all nationalism, should protect the interests of the nation. Going back to World War I and going forward to this date, there has been a distance between French strategy and those of its lies. It has, during the Cold War, constantly been in a position where it was not going to simply cooperate with NATO. And this is the same story. The French don't want to see the Russians move. On the other hand, they also don't want to become subordinate to the Americans, as most of Europe has become, or certainly Germans. So they have their own policy. For this, the Poles are terrified because they remember when in World War II, the French had their own policy and then were crushed by the Germans where they were left. So the French are the French. They always want to speak of French grandeur, and they mean it. And that means that they can never be fully trusted to align with a single non-French leader.
Romania, Hungary, the Balkans, Central Europe, Slovakia, the Czech Republic, are they in any fashion signed up on the Polish side or the French side? Is it dividing like that?
They're mostly, with the exception of Hungary, on the American side. The Americans don't share the dream of this wonderful Polish empire. They do want to block Russia and Ukraine. They want to push them back. And when you talk to them, they are generally in favor of the Americans and regard the Poles as, pardon me, hot wind. You know, they're not serious. So the exception is the Hungarians, who began the war helpfully tilted toward the Russians and are now repositioning away from it. But in general, they're looking at Poland and saying, what are you talking about? And they're looking at the Americans, wondering what they'll allow.
We speak now of the military capacity of Poland. To look at the Russian performance in Ukraine, This is an inferior symmetrical warfare unit. However, you make the case in your essay, Geopolitical Futures, that Russia's fighting on the offense. It's fighting in the visiting team's stadium, and that that would not be the case if Russia was attacked through Belarus or through the Baltic states driving on Moscow. Did I read that correctly, George?
Yeah. It's all logistics. You have to supply your troops. And the further you move away from the supply base, the harder and longer it takes to resupply. The more you fall back, paradoxically, the easier supply is. The Russians are playing at far distance from their supplies. They're not doing well. But if the Poles came in and started attacking them, pushing them back onto their supply lines, I think the Poles would find it a much more difficult battle than they anticipated. But also, I believe that the Poles think mistakenly that if they went into this war themselves, the Americans would be with them. And I think also the fact is that the Americans are keeping them from going in. There are substantial American forces in Poland. They're supplying Ukraine through them. And the Poles really are not free to do what they want at this time.
So, George, is this a rhetorical case that Poland's making, or have they got the battle formations to drive on Moscow? Is it real?
It is deep in their hearts. They want it very much, and they think they have the battle formations if the United States will break them. They think that if they join the Ukrainians in large scale, it would work. The problem the Americans have is that the United States really doesn't want to complicate this war. It wants to have a negotiated end. It said this several times. The Ukrainians said they wanted to. The Russians may or may not come to the table. But certainly having the Poles in there would be a liability to our forces, because now we would have to support them as well.
Your opinion, George, could Poland and the United States break Russia?
I think it could, if not militarily, at least psychologically. If the Americans attacked and the Poles attacked, the sense inside of Russia would be one of panic, because this force couldn't be defeated. And you really don't want to panic a nuclear power. So they may have no intention of using nuclear weapons, but you don't know that. And just how far do you want to go? I think the Americans simply want Ukraine to remain independent. And that is settled for.
George Friedman is the chairman and founder of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site. We're looking at the world out in Eurasia in crisis. And next, we're going to turn to China. And what does it mean, these protests the last several days? I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.